This Uinta Golf Masters update with Bob Casper is brought to you by Mountain Land Supply, Zions Bank, Black Desert Resort, and get some guns and ammo. Now, here's Real Golf Radio's Bob Casper.
The man, the myth, the legend, not only a golf guru, but a barbecue guru as well. It is Bob Casper from Real Golf Radio. Bob, how are you?
Hello, Bob.
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. Hans, I got a question for you.
Yeah, shoot. Go ahead.
Okay. So remember that story you told when you were in camp your first year in the NFL and you rushed the quarterback and just laid him out?
Bob.
Remember that story?
Bob, I would love to tell you that I could hear your question.
But Lloyd was
talking in my ear.
He was?
Yeah, and I actually didn't hear a single word of your question.
Okay.
Could you
the story you tell about camp, football camp, when you rushed the quarterback and just laid him out?
that's the Peyton Manning story.
Yeah. And how did it feel to tackle a Masters member?
Oh,
Peyton's a Masters member
now? I didn't
know
he's a member at Augusta.
He is a member at Augusta, so you need to get on the phone and call him and let's go play golf.
Oh, wouldn't that be lovely? He would be like, who's this? I'd be like, Peyton, how dare you don't remember me?
Hey, so how does one become a member? I mean, obviously it's got to be an invitation and then a heavy price tag, right?
It's a total invitation. Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
And then does he have to, when you're invited, are you just there or do you still have to come up with the funds necessary to be a member?
Well, I don't think there is initiation as far as a fee up front, but Masters members traditionally are invited to be members because they can provide certain things.
Oh.
Whether it's, you know, Goodell's a member with the with the NFL, Peyton, Lynn Swann, Condoleezza Rice, you know, everybody has something that they, Bill Gates, everybody has something that they can help out with the membership. And from the event every year with all the merchandising and everything, the club runs itself. So.
Bob, your dad won the Masters in 1970, mm-hmm. I believe it was.
Correct.
Could he golf at any time he wanted?
He could, yes. He was an honorary member, so he could play anytime he wanted. But for him to bring guests or whatever, he would need a member to sponsor. And there are part of the bylaws for Augusta National is that there are 30 members, local members in the area, so that if anything comes up, they've got that membership there to help out. And sponsor people, that kind of thing. So a lot of these guys that qualify, once they're qualified to play at Augusta, and they know that they're going to be in the field with a tournament winner, whatever, they can go out and play at Augusta when the club's open, and they can take guests with them, and that's why those local members are there, so that they can sponsor whoever they bring with them. So,
I thought I read a story once where some of the local members, if they can't fill out the field or they need a foursome, will go in and actually play in the Masters. Was that any truth to that? Do you remember that at all?
Okay, so once they make the cut or if somebody drops out, and there's only a single person for a foursome, they get one of the Masters members who's a really good player. I can't remember his name right offhand, but they get that member to go out and play and be that player's marker. And he plays the golf course actually in the tournament with the guys. So a lot of times after the cut, then they only play in twosomes, where in the first 2 days they play in threesomes. And so once they make the cut and there's twosomes, if it's an odd number, then that guy will play for 2 days. Or if somebody withdraws or there's an injury or whatever and it becomes an odd number, then he'll play.
I love that.
Bob, I want you to do the best you possibly can in helping me visualize the most difficult hole at Augusta, taking me from the tips, kind of walk me down the fairway, and put me onto the green. I want you to walk me through the most difficult hole and talk about elevations. And I want to be able to visualize what this hole is like at Augusta.
Oh, man. Oh, man. So do you watch the tournament at all?
Oh, yes. Every year for the last, I think, 8 years.
Number 11 is the most difficult hole on the golf course. Traditionally, every year, it's the most difficult hole. It's the start of Amen Corner. You've just come off the 10th hole where you've got this huge, you start kind of up by the clubhouse, and then you've got this elevation change that goes down. And it probably, you know, the elevation change might be 100 feet from up where you tee off down to the fairway level and then down to the green. And it's a big dog leg left. Now, the 11th hole, you walk from the 11th hole kind of back up to into the trees up to the left, and that tee has traditionally been moved back further and further and further as the guys are getting longer. It used to be that the hole was like 470 yards. Now it's like over five, and it's a par four. And it's a dog leg right. And on the initially, till I think it was like 2000 and maybe six or seven, there were no trees down the right-hand side. Well, Augusta National put all these pine trees down the right-hand side, and these aren't little pine trees. I mean, they're full-grown, like 25-foot pine trees, and they probably put like 30 or 40 of them down the right-hand side. So it made you play to the left and made it more of a traditional dogleg right. So from the back tee, you're hitting to almost a little bit of an elevated fairway. And guys will drive it down there. If you hit it in the trees, you're going to be a five. If you hit it down the left side, Ernie Els hit it down the left side one time into the pine trees also, because there's pine trees on the left. And so you've got both directions that you've really got to hit a really good drive just to get it to the top of the hill. Then you're looking at about 180 to 220-yard shot into a green that's lower. Elevation change is probably another 30 or 40 feet from where you're up in the fairway down. And there's a pond just to the left of the green with a sharp bank. And you have to stay away from that. You have to stay away from that pond. It's a big kind of kidney-shaped green that wraps around that pond, with one single bunker in the back, in the middle part of the green. And then there's these two, like, teardrops on the right front of the green. Ben Hogan always said that he wanted to play over towards those teardrops or to the right and then chip onto the green. And some guys will hit a shot in there, it'll come up a little bit short, you hit on the side hill of that teardrop, and it'll rocket across the green into the pond. It's a really, really difficult hole. And four is a great score on that hole. It's tough. So dogleg right, 500 yards, teeing off to that kind of plateau area up above, and then a downhill shot to that green with that water on the left. It's a difficult hole, really difficult.
Bob Casper joining us right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. So we talked about this with BT yesterday, and I've got a theory. Uh-huh. We all watched DeChambeau do, I don't know what he was doing, but showing off or just cranking long drives, and Vijay Singh's over there looking like, what are you doing, you moron?
Yep.
But with that said, I think he was just playing mind games with people, saying, hey, look, I can build a super Walmart in between your tee shot and mine. Good luck trying to keep up with me. But what do you think was going on there?
Well, I think there's Hans probably knows this speed training or over speed training, and I think that's what he was doing with his driver at the time, because he was just swinging as hard as he could, and not great form or anything like that, and he was repeating it like every 20 seconds or so, and he hit, you know, 8 or 10 shots I saw him hit. And then he'll go back to swinging under a little bit more control, but still trying to swing hard. But the idea is to get that over speed, so that when he dials it back a little bit, it's still going extremely long. That's what my thinking is on the whole deal.
Man, it was crazy to watch. So rapid and violent.
Yep.
Bob, how does a body hold up to that type of swing for any length of time?
That's going to be interesting to see with him especially. We know that he's put on a lot of muscle, that he trains three times a day, that he's I think he's ingesting 10 to 12,000 calories a day, kind of like a football player.
Same.
And he's doing the things he needs to do to build up his muscle, to increase his swing speed, to increase ball speed, and he's proven that he is the longest driver on the PGA Tour right now. His whole thinking is right now that everything sets up with the driver, and if he can become the longest, then he has the shortest clubs into the greens, and he has more or a better opportunity to score. And he proved it in the U.S. Open. Even though he was hitting it long and hitting it in the rough, he's still able to hit it out of the rough with those shorter irons, wedges, nine irons, that kind of thing. When everybody else is, hitting it, 40 yards shorter than he is and hitting seven or six irons, which you can't extract out of rough like that at a U.S. Open. So his whole thinking is right now is to overpower the game off the tee. And we saw that at Bay Hill when he won Arnold's event this year, driving it, carrying the ball 350, 360 yards off the tee. So,
Bob Casper joining us here on the Zone Sports Network. What do you think of Tony Finau and his chances coming up this weekend?
I think Tony, I think, will play well this week. He loves this golf course. He loves being at Augusta. He's done well. He's had a couple of top 10, top five finishes. He didn't play great last year, but that was in November. And I think November was a little bit of an anomaly because the golf course was softer. The greens were softer. It was riper for scoring. And I think Tony likes a little bit tougher conditions. He likes the golf course fast and firm. And he plays better when it requires you to be less go after it, but more strategic about how you play a major championship. And Augusta is faster this week. It's drier. The greens are more firm, and they're not expecting rain or any type of weather till later in the week. So I think he'll have a great week. Last week he was in San Antonio. He didn't play well. He missed the cut. I saw him on Thursday there in San Antonio. I was down in Texas, and I talked with Boyd Summerhays, his coach, and he said that he was there just to kind of keep in the flow of things going into the Masters, and I don't think he counted too much on his play last week, but he got to Augusta early after missing the cut on Friday, and I think he's really going to play well this week, in my opinion.
All right, Bob, I'm going to give you three threesomes, and
okay.
I want you to tell me which of the three threesomes has the best chance at the best overall score.
Okay.
You got Bryson DeChambeau.
Overall score of the three threesomes?
Yep. Of which threesome would have the best overall collective score.
Okay.
Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, and Colin Morikawa.
Okay.
Justin Thomas, Webb Simpson, Lee Westwood, and Dustin Johnson, Xander Schauffele, Tony Finau.
I'd go those three. Last one.
It's a kiss of death right there.
That's Scotty's threesome.
Okay.
Is it?
That is Scotty's threesome.
Scotty's threesome. I'd go the first one then.
That would be mine. Hey.
There you go.
Bob, that was messed up, man.
just for turds and giggles,
okay.
You can't pick any of those golfers that I just mentioned. Give me three golfers, Bob, and
oh,
I am going
goodness.
To – I know that you're behind the eight ball on this because you can't pick one of the ones that we have. You also can't pick Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy.
Why are you saying I can't pick him if it's
because
not one of those three?
We actually,
now you're not liking hands so much.
We actually involved a listener in this round of the major pain in the butt, and he picked Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, and Victor Hovland. I didn't ask you about that threesome because I don't think it's got a chance.
when Bob starts chuckling in the background, you know you've had a bad round.
With Jordan Spieth. I think okay. You're wrong with Jordan Spieth. Having come off his win last week, so.
But Rory and Hovland aren't doing anything for this young man, so.
Yeah, Rory's going to be tough because he's been struggling with his game, struggling with his swing and that kind of thing. So, let me see here. Hold on a second.
But you still have plenty on there. Patrick Cantlay and Patrick Reed and.
Okay, Patrick Cantlay would be one that I put on the list.
Okay.
For me.
Cantlay.
Yeah, Patrick Cantlay.
What about
you're leaving me the leftovers? Come on.
I know, man. It is kind of making you bite the leftovers off
Bob
the
with this?
Okay, so DJ's gone, Justin Thomas is gone, Rahm's gone, Colin Morikawa is gone, Bryson's gone, Xander's gone. Okay, put Patrick Reed on there.
Okay, Patrick Reed,
Cantlay, and
Brooks is still there.
One more. Brooks is still there, but Brooks hasn't got a shot in this.
Brooks is engaged and has a bum knee.
Yeah, Brooks has got a really bad knee. Yeah, which is gonna
slow him down the most, the knee or the engagement? No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Don't answer.
No, the knee is definitely gonna slow him down the most.
You got Daniel Berger who's up there. Matsuyama still on the board. Is Scheffler still on the board?
Scheffler, and he's been playing well late. You know what? Put him on there for me, Scotty Scheffler. That's kind of a way out there dark horse, but put him on there for me.
All right. We got you.
Okay.
We'll put you on there. That's your group. Cantlay, Patrick Reed, and Scotty
Scheffler.
Bob's
going to come out and win this thing. Hey, Bob, I was talking to our guys down at the store, and you ready for round two coming up probably June, July sometime?
Yeah. What are we going to do this time?
Okay. Well, I know you're trying to bait me into saying brisket.
Well, let's go pull pork then.
Oh, that could be fun.
That would be a lot of fun.
But pulled pork takes a long time to cook.
Yeah, that's a longer cook.
Yeah, but brisket is longer than pulled
pork.
Yeah,
brisket would be a long time too. You know what?
Unless you do it my way, you can do. You can do.
I know you do that hot and fast
in a short period of time. Hot and fast. Yep.
How about?
I don't know. I kind of want a ribs rematch, but
okay, let's do a ribs.
Let's
rematch.
Let's do a ribs rematch. That sounds like a blast.
Could call it a river match.
Man, Bob, I wish you could see Scotty right now. He's propping up in the chair and leaning back, and he's puffing out the chest.
No, I'm not puffing out the chest. You gotta want something to puff out the chest. I lost, so
he's got thoughts of wood chips running through his head.
Oh man, I don't know if I've been that really got to me. I'm not gonna lie, Bob. That bothered me a little bit.
Hey, I want to throw in maybe a possible clause this year. How about you can use whatever smoking device you want to use?
That's interesting.
Because I don't think Scotty was in his own wheelhouse.
Really?
That's true. I mean, I'm not excuses guy, Bob, but, you know, it wasn't anything I was familiar with.
You have one
with.
Of those big green things you're thinking about then?
I just think that whatever device you used in the past, you should be able to, if you can haul it in, then you should be able to use it.
Because, Bob, you were at home with the device that you used, correct?
I was at home with the device I used, yes.
Okay.
The only problem is that that device, I think, was a sponsor, so we might need to.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Might have to remain with the same device.
Yeah.
But, you know, Scotty, nobody needs to know what you're actually cooking with, though.
That's true. That's a good point.
If you're going to get serious,
they'll see what he's cooking with.
You're going to have to bring the fight to Bob, because I'm going to tell you right now, Bob is not backing down. He's not backing down.
I mean, it's like Bob's great. He's like one of the nicest dudes on the planet. The incredible golfer. He's handsome. He's got everything going right.
Beautiful family.
And I was like, man, I just like to have.
Flattery will get you nowhere.
I was just hoping like I could have this one thing, and no, I couldn't have that one thing. Bob was better than me than ribs too, and that Bob. I'm sorry,
Scotty.
No, it's okay. It's all right.
Well, I remember the day that me, you, and Lloyd took Bob on a basketball, and he beat us at that too.
Yeah.
We got to do that again.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
That was a blast.
Well, yeah, Bob, we appreciate it. You're the best, man. Nothing but love. Hope you're well, and look forward to catching up with you again here as everything kicks off tomorrow.
Thanks, Bob.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Bob Casper right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Just trying to help.
Can he just not be great at one thing?
I'm just trying to help.
I know. I appreciate it.
I know. He is exceptional, and yeah. He's just such a good guy. I know you want to be mad.
Yeah.
Like, I know you want to bring anger to that cooking competition. It's just impossible.
Oh, it's not possible. Yeah.
But you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to get nasty.
I might have to, I don't know, maybe sabotage his ribs or something.
I won't go that far, but 20 spot in some judge's hand doesn't hurt.
Well, that's the thing. We'll also get some better judges, too.
Oh, Jim Olson did a fantastic job.
Jim did a great job. I was talking about Jim. I was talking about everybody else. It was awful.
Oh, man.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Get your foursome together and sign up today for the Dyslexia Center of Utah Charity Golf Tournament. Join the fun May 13th at Cedar Hills Golf Course. 100% of those proceeds will go to the Dyslexia Center Scholarship Fund. Space is limited. Find out more at dyslexiacenterofutah.org. That's dyslexiacenterofutah.org. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
He covers college sports for the Washington Post. He's Patrick Stevens. Let's tell Aggie fans what kind of head coach they're getting.
They're getting a guy that is a really sharp cook. UMBC had had 7 consecutive 20-loss seasons and won 41 games in that span. It was really not a good situation to be walking into, and immediately wins 21 games, figures out a way to recruit quickly and reload a program that hadn't done much for a decade. And then, obviously, the next year pulls that memorable upset against Virginia. His teams play really good defense, really elevated that UMBC program during his 5 years in the Baltimore suburbs, and I think Utah State's getting a really, really good coach.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5, 1280 The Zone in the Zone Sports Network.
Time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Eddie Johnson is going to join us hopefully here in a moment. Talk some Phoenix Suns as he is one of the analysts for Fox Sports as the Jazz take on the Suns later on tonight. Eddie Johnson's got a long history with the Utah Jazz. We'll talk about that here in a bit. Was playing for the Rockets, hit a big game winner, and I believe in the 97 Western Conference Finals. Tremendous player, a lot of history with the Jazz, and does a tremendous job with the Suns on the broadcast as well. So hopefully we'll be able to chat with him. Until then, though, it's time for Sports Roulette, where we spin the wheels, take some of the storylines we have not had a chance to get to, and with that, Lloyd, fire up that wheel.
Couldn't happen to a better person.
Well, Scotty, we talked about the eyeballs that Zach Wilson would be bringing to that BYU Pro Day.
Yeah.
Remember, what was it, 60-some-odd NFL personnel?
A lot. A
lot of NFL personnel showed up. Well, one of the receivers that was running routes for Zach Wilson was Micah Simon, who obviously had been gone for a year. I think he was working as like a insurance guy or something. He was working in some other company. Well, Micah came out, decided to participate in Pro Day. He ran the routes for Zach, caught every ball that was thrown at him, and then he ran a 4.34 40. Now, I preface all of these with, it's a 4-3-4. It is not a laser timed. Everybody was confused thinking, oh, these are laser timed numbers that they're releasing. No, it's not. This was the collective of the pro scouts and their stopwatches and the ones that released, and then kind of a suggestion of the lowest time. That's what that time is. So 4-3-4 might be a 4-4-4, might be a 4-3-3. We don't know exactly what it is. But still, very fast. Well, he got a call soon after that and has now been given a 3-year minimum pay contract to the Carolina Panthers. Says Carolina Panthers general manager Scott Fitterer called and said that he and offensive coordinator Joe Brady saw his performance at the pro day and offered him this 3-year minimum salary contract. Now, I will preface this with, it means nothing. He won't get a penny until he makes the roster.
Yeah.
And making the roster is going to be extremely difficult to do.
People hear 3 years and they're thinking, all right.
He made a lot of money.
It can all be taken away just like that.
He didn't make a penny.
Yeah.
He'll make about $1,900 a week in camp, which, you know, $1,900 is nice for a week of camp, even though you feel like during camp you should be making $100,000 because it's horrible, miserable. At least it was. I think the NFLPA protects players quite a bit more than they used to. But this is an opportunity that nobody gets. Nobody. There are thousands of wide receivers out there running routes at pro days. Thousands. That don't get a whiff. They don't get a call.
And that's all you want is a chance. You know, the old proverbial chip in a chair. That's what you're hoping for, and he got that.
Just give me a shot, man. That's all I want, because when he's 55, 60 years old and he's been working in the insurance business for years, he can reflect on the time that he got a couple of weeks in Panthers camp. Or he got a couple of weeks in Panthers camp that led to 2 years with the Panthers. Or that led to 10 years with the Panthers and millions of dollars. Yeah. Like, you don't know, but you get the shot to say, I got my opportunity at the highest level. I'm so grateful that I had my shot at the highest level. I'm so thankful because I've got buddies who didn't get it. And every time we're chatting about it, they're like, I just can't. It sits in their mind like, I just wanted a camp. I wanted to see what it's like. And I tell them, it sucked. It's miserable. And I hated every minute of it, except for Tuesdays when I got my paycheck. And it still doesn't equate. It's still like, no, I wanted my chance.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Micah Simon's getting it, because he is a great person. Couldn't happen to a better guy.
So he gets a shot, and that's all you ask for.
That's it.
Just an opportunity. And that'll be great. And then, you know, then it's up to you.
Then it's up to you.
Yeah.
How well are you prepared? How ready are you for it?
And you could be 100% prepared. You could be in the top physical shape, and it still may not work out for you.
100%.
But at the end of the day, you got to crack at it, and that's all you ask for. This
could still not work out because rosters are too deep, but maybe it leads to something else. Maybe you'll be put on the practice squad. Maybe you'll be picked up by another, given a shot by another team.
Get some film out there on a preseason game. Who knows what it could lead to. By the way, Sports Roulette brought to you by Davis Vision. Right now, get $1,000 off LASIK. All you have to do is call 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. Or you can also learn more at davisvisionmd.com. Lloyd, spin it.
Did Texas get it right?
Well, Scotty, you and I were watching that Rangers game together yesterday.
Yep.
What do you think?
I'm not making any moral statements one way or another. All I'm saying is that, boy, it looked great to see a full stadium. It just did your heart good just to see a packed stadium.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you, some people look at that and their stomach turns.
Oh,
and
I know.
And they think that these people are killing millions.
And I'm just this is just from a nostalgic standpoint. It just felt good to see a full stadium.
If you didn't turn into the Rangers game yesterday at Globe Life Field, it was packed, complete sellout. And there are a lot of videos out there that kind of pan the field and pan the stadium. And you can see that Texas has opened up the state. Remember, Texas declared the state 100% done with COVID-19. And they declared that any restrictions that come with or came with that virus were canceled out. 100% done. Rangers opened it up. And regardless of how you feel about this pandemic, Texas is not feeling a huge influx yet. We'll see. But Texas remains stable. And, you know, I think a lot is yet to be learned from this experiment. We'll see. It's too early to tell if Texas got it right.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to need to wait a month, month and a half. But here's the thing. I mean, it's all about vaccinations at this point. And I believe that, the more you get vaccinated, the more that we'll be able to open things up a little bit here. And when you hit a certain threshold, then let's roll. Open it up.
Well, see, there's a part of me that...
I don't know if that's 70%, 75%, 50%. I don't know what that number is.
There's a part of me that believes that once we get to the point where everybody has access to the vaccine, then open things up because people should be mature enough to make the decision for themselves. Get the vaccine. If you don't get the vaccine, you're putting yourself at risk.
I'm with you on that.
So open up the venues. Yeah. I do think here in Utah, I still believe, and I'm talking about week one of the playoffs, I do believe there's going to be a high percentage. I'm not saying 100% Vivint Arena, but I think there could be a very high percentage Vivint Arena week one of the playoffs. When everybody in the state has access to the vaccine, yeah, why not?
And right now you do. I mean, now I know that there's – I don't know how easy it is to – I got mine a couple weeks ago. So, you know, now that it's wide open, I don't know how long you have to wait to get your dosage. But I think by the time May, middle of May, June comes around, most people should probably have at least one shot in the arm by then.
By that time, the people that want it –
should probably have had it. Yeah, I think you're right.
And at that point, I just don't see the reason to not allow those Jazz fans that are just clamoring. This is the best Jazz team that has been assembled and the best performance of a Jazz team that I remember in my 15, 16 years of covering.
Yeah.
I think this is a better, more complete team than that Darren Williams team that went to the Western Conference Finals.
There was a story in the NBA, and I don't know. I'm a member. I mean, I use it at the airport. It's called Clear, a company where you can just go in, get the two fingerprints, and boom, you're on. You know, you skip through all the security and stuff like that. It's really simple. But the NBA is now partnering with Clear to provide screening for COVID-19 beginning next season. But in doing so, anticipate that all arenas will be fully open at that point. And so the anticipation is that arenas are going to be packed. They will use this Clear technology to do biometric screening. It'll all be available to all 30 teams as the NBA expects arenas to be at full capacity next season. So you're looking at, you know, preseason games in late September, October, and the start of the season in mid to late October. And off we go. All right, one more. Lloyd, fired up.
We need money. Who's all in for new video boards?
New video boards.
So, you know, we're in a deficit. We need money for the athletic department. And New Skin's like, we got the video boards. I don't know how many millions these boards are, but Scotty, they're going from a 3,400 square foot video board to a 10,873 square foot video board in Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
The big one.
And New Skin is footing the whole bill. And they're doing those LED wrap around the rings, video screens that go around the stadium. I don't know what the total cost on this is, but this is being 100% funded by New Skin. And what I would tell people is it's New Skin's money and they can spend it the way they want to spend it. I know there's a lot of people that are surly, like, well, it's this and this, and it's the pandemic, and BYU's been begging for money. Yeah, BYU has been begging, like pleading, putting out a video saying, whatever you got, $5, $20.
$1 million.
$1 million. We need it. Please. We're begging. And Newskin's like, we're going to give you money.
But
we want bigger video boards. Now, I do want to make a point in that this is, it is good for recruiting. It is good for the fans.
Yep.
It is good for that program overall, because this will be a video board that's going to stand out. That 3,000 square foot video board was no good. Just was no good. This thing is going to be a hybrid, and it will be the belle of the ball. And it will be brought to you by Newskin. I'm sure Newskin will have their symbol firmly placed right on.
As they should. You put the bill like that, you should be able to slap your logo anywhere you want.
Dang right, man. I wish the Hanson Scotty show could have funded it. And just, we could have just.
I don't know, video boards are $25 maybe.
Well,
but
sell some of your homes, Hans. Let's do it.
Could you imagine BYU fans? There's your face and my face on the sides of it.
That would not go over well.
Yeah. Oh, it would. They're fine. They love us.
I love you.
No, they love us. They love you. For everybody who's whining and complaining out there, stop it. It's Newskin's money.
Yeah.
But we're in a pandemic. We really should be spending. They can spend it how they want. They made it.
Yeah, Newskin's money. They want a video board, they get a video board.
Don't tell me how to spend my money. If I've got billions.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. You know, we talked about the optics with the University of Utah dismissing Larry Kuskoviac in the middle of a pandemic and coming up with the, what, $6, $7 million to be able to buy him out. And, you know, I think we can all read between the lines and say there was a booster or a collection of boosters that came up with that money. And you could say, well, yeah, they could spend their money to help out with some of the furloughs and the layoffs and some of the things that the Utah program had to deal with, but that's not what they want to give their money for. They want to get their money to get a coach out and a new coach in, and that's their money, and if that's what they want to earmark it for, then off you go.
So be it.
Yeah.
Now, something like that worries me when boosters' money can get in the way of hiring and firing. I don't like
when
boosters start to make
– we've been there –
personnel decisions.
I mean, I think that's – we're well in that range right now.
Oh, yeah.
All right, 1247, Hans and Scotty. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Time to welcome in Tim Lacombe. You hear him on the Jazz pregame shows, halftime, postgame.
Why are we talking about losing, PK? Garbage. Can we talk about winning?
Well, when they win, we will talk about winning. But they freaking lost the other night. That's fresh on my mind. I live in the moment. They dictate what I talk about, not myself.
You live in the moment, but you're talking all about Damian Lillard. We play Chris Paul tonight, bro.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because I live in the moment, but prepare for the future, so when it gets here, I am ready to go, and nothing catches me unprepared.
I love this guy. You cannot win an argument. I was just going to try, and he's already got me, so screw it.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network. Busy day coming up here in about 40 minutes. Ryan Odom, new head coach at Utah State, will join us. So we'll have a chance to chat with him and get some thoughts on the new job at Utah State, what led him to that, and, what life in Logan is going to look like for Utah State and Utah State basketball. Also, hope to be able to connect with Eddie Johnson here before the end of the show. If not, I got a big Jazz game tonight, Jazz and the Phoenix Suns, and can't wait for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, I mean, you'll hear that game, a little bit of a later start, 8 o'clock start time, 7 o'clock pregame right here on the Zone Sports Network. So, By the way, I'm not a huge, and we don't do this stuff, but I do think it's an interesting note. And I'm just going to bring it to this. My two all-time favorite baseball movies, and frankly, probably my two favorite sports movies, were released on this day within 4 years of each other. So Major League, which is my all-time favorite sports movie, football, basketball, baseball, Major League. I own multiple DVD copies of this movie. And if it still pops up on TV, I will watch it all the way through. And then you got The Sandlot. So Major League came out 32 years ago today on April 7th. The Sandlot came out 28 years ago today, again on April 7th. And frankly, those are two movies that I will probably sit and watch at any time.
The Sandlot was so sweet just because it had that local connection.
Yeah, and that was all filmed up in Ogden, too.
I'm telling you, that place, that drugstore where he bought the baseball, my dad used to take me to have, like, strawberry, like, shakes there.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they used to do shakes there. It was amazing.
So, yeah, I just think it's funny. The same day, released on April 7th, same day. One I will watch with my kids. The other one's probably not. But I think Major League's probably my favorite sports movie.
All time?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I can safely say that.
Okay, so you're...
And by the way, we're not doing any... You're not calling in. We're not taking any suggestions on this. I just think it's funny.
So you're more interested in the comedy side of sports movies, not the serious side of sports
more
movies.
More so, yeah. Yeah.
You want to see the lighthearted...
Rudy, no thanks.
Draft Day.
Oh, jeez.
Don't you dare ever mention that movie. Wow. In what we're talking about right
what
now.
What about
Draft
Tin Cup?
Was so bad.
What about Tin Cup?
Tin Cup's good, but that's also a little on the funnier side, too.
So if you were going to go serious and go baseball, you'd have said Field of Dreams.
But no, I hate Field of Dreams. Really don't like that movie.
The
I
Natural.
Didn't mind it. I kind of liked it. I watched it.
If you want to be serious, I would have said, like, The Natural.
Natural's good. It was one of the first
or maybe Eight
movies
Men
I
Out.
Remember watching.
8 Men Out. You know, I started watching that the other night. That's another good movie.
Yeah. A lot of good
young
actors there.
Yeah, a lot of good young actors there. What, 88, 89, I think that movie came out.
What about, like, the nasty side of sports, like The Program or Any Given Sunday?
I enjoyed The Program just because it came out in a certain point in my life where I was playing high school football. And so that kind of hit home a little bit. But you watch it now, and it's like, okay, it's not that great.
Scotty G putting his head through a window.
Starting defense. Seat at the table, yeah.
What about...
you might want to remind Latimer that the NCAA will be testing coming up next week.
What about kind of the lighthearted side, but also the serious side in Jerry Maguire?
Nah, no thanks. Hard pass.
It is. You like the comedy side of sports. Like,
yeah. Miracle, good movie. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, but very serious.
But very serious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would go Major League. Come on, you had to have loved Major League.
I did. I liked Major League.
Oh, I was about to say, I bet you he hasn't even seen it.
Oh, no, I've seen it. Actually, I was just asking Scotty how in the world 11-year-old Hans was able to sneak that one in. I must have been at my buddy's house.
Probably, yeah.
Because... That one wouldn't have never snuck by the Olsen mom and pa.
Yeah, how were you watching it?
I don't know,
Scotty?
But I
you too,
definitely
Scotty?
Remember. Yeah.
Oh, how were you able to? I didn't watch it until I was like 18.
Oh, okay.
I would never have done that.
Wait.
No, everybody's got that friend where you can go over to their house and watch a movie.
Everybody had that friend.
You know, you can watch Top Gun without your parents fast-forwarding through Take My Breath Away. You know, like there's no parental control over, and you find who that guy is. And you go to his house and you watch the movies. My, not the singer, but his name was Brian Adams. It was one of my buddies. That was his name, Brian Adams.
Yeah, that's funny because my buddy was Jake McDaniel.
Oh yeah,
not the football coach.
And so he'd always go to Brian's house, and they would always have the movies that you weren't allowed to watch.
Was his satellite scrambled or unscrambled?
He did not have satellite, but they would rent a bunch of movies and go home and immediately record. You know, they had two VCRs and they'd immediately record them.
They had their own little.
Yeah, the FBI would have had a field day with them. Eddie Johnson joins us next. We'll chat some Phoenix Suns with him straight ahead. You're listening to Hans and Scotty. Hans, we're live here at Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com right now. Use the promo code ZONE, and they will get 10% off your first order. Let's
the
go.
Best protein bar on the market. I promise you guys, you don't have to choke these protein bars down. These are packed full of 16 to 17 grams of protein. You've got 18 base amazing flavors. They're always releasing new, incredible flavors. They have a blast around here, but the thing that separates these Built Bars, it's when you bite into them.
Yep.
It's that creamy milk chocolate, kind of a cushiony, soft bite that has a bit of a chew, but it's not grainy. It's smooth. It's exactly what a protein bar should taste like. It's exactly what you would hope a protein bar could be. Built Bar reestablished my idea of what a protein bar should be and can be.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm working on a white chocolate cherry sundae. It's awesome.
That's delicious. I am working on a white chocolate, you can hear it, cookies and cream.
Yep.
It's delicious.
Go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code ZONE, 10% off. It's all right here on the Zone Sports Network.